Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, me, Shauna Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. And Justin Jackson is co-hosting with me. As you know, Derek Michael Chauvin, a former police officer, was convicted of the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota yesterday. He was found guilty of unintentional second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Justin, would you like to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, I was one of the very many Americans around the country and also people around the world, you know, anticipating this verdict. I was watching the defense, you know, and the defensive counsel and, like, the arguments they, you know, brought approach, looking at it through the constitutional lens and references from previous cases. I thought that the defense did a pretty decent job. But at the end of the day, it's like when you look at, you know, someone put their knee on someone's neck for 9.5 minutes after that they're dead, after they're motionless, after the EMTs pull up, you know, it's like you don't need too much more evidence after that. Like, you know, so I would be very surprised if this verdict would have went a different way. And I definitely want to hear from the callers. Press 1, definitely, if you have, you know, a comment that you want to, you know, bring in or a question that you want to have, ask. But one of the things that, you know, that was how quick the deliberation was, right?
Right.
And then second, how long the deliberation was, right? You know, I mean, it took them 11 hours, you know, to come back with a guilty verdict. Personally, I would like to hear the exit interview for the jury members, you know, on how deliberation went. I really want to see how that actually went, because for most individuals around the world, after the videotape, there's nothing more you need to know if a person should be found guilty, you know, on those specific charges. Personally, I want to know, should or and could the jury have reached the conclusion that it was first-degree murder? You know, because my question is, at what point does negligence go so far that it doesn't become first degree? You know, like at some point in that officer's mind, you know, he made a decision that regardless of the well-being of this person beneath me, I'm going to do this. He made a decision, you know. And my question is, at what point does that become first degree? Like, personally, I don't think this person should be able to walk the face of the planet free ever again, you know. And a lot of people are celebrating on guilty on all three counts. I'm not celebrating yet. Not me. No, I want to see, you know, what is it, four months from now when we have sentencing? I want to see the book thrown at them. I want to see an example made. I feel he should have nothing less than 100 years, if not life. There's no way this person should be able to get out of jail for the rest of their life. And when you telling me black boys and black men, you know, with a substance minuscule are in prison for the rest of their lives? Come on now. Were you telling me a young black boy in Florida practicing wrestling moves with his friend knew what he was doing in jail for the rest of his life? Come on, man. You know, there's no way this guy should be able to walk free ever again. ever. Like, it shouldn't be possible, period. What do you think? What do you callers think? I mean, with the ruling and all three jury, all three counts, guilty verdicts, you know, where were you at? How did you feel? What do you think needs to happen next? Rashawn, let's start with you. What were you at? How did you feel when you heard it? And what do you think should happen next?
Okay. I was at home in my living room. I was getting ready to leave. But when it came on that the verdict was coming out soon, I had to wait. So I did. So when they read the verdict that he was found guilty, but also I was thinking that still doesn't justify the anti-blackness, anti-racism, anti-discrimination against black people. And essentially, I think that they were just making a scapegoat of him because they didn't want the United States torn to shreds, burned up, businesses out of business by them breaking windows, setting on fire, looting. So I think that what they did was we could just go find him guilty.
What about the jury?
Now,
do you think the jury just looked at the tape and said, hey, this guy's guilty?
I think they probably already had their minds made up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they set the jury up to get the results that they wanted. I think they wanted him to be found guilty. But also, the real deal will come up when they decide, like, okay, how is he going to be sentenced? He could get up to 40 years, but doesn't mean that he will. He may only get 12.
Right.
And then there's a lot of states don't have truth in sentencing. Like, you might get 12 years and only do 5 and be out. But it doesn't change the fact that we have these vigilante police officers, and most of them are either in the KKK or some Aryan Brotherhood, and they join the police force so they can do things to black people, so they can harm them, so they can kill them. Because if they roll the dice, they know that they have a very good chance of getting off and getting away with it. And
one of the things I saw throughout this whole entire trial was the lack of emotion from the officer. Like, he didn't, not only did he not testify, not give out an apology, nothing.
Okay, he didn't think he did anything wrong.
Exactly. My thing is, anybody can look at this tape and see that you did something wrong. Like it doesn't matter if you're a racist. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're black, you're white, you're Chinese, Asian, Hispanic, whatever you consider yourself to be, man, woman, or other, you know, whatever. You know, anybody looking at this tape can clearly see there was something wrong. You know, if a nine-year-old child looking at this telling you, like, get up.
No, I disagree. Everybody that looked at that tape didn't see something wrong. It was a lot of them didn't see anything wrong, who looked just like Derek Chauvin.
Mm-hmm.
They looked at each other, looked at that tape, and was like, okay, he got one of them.
Mm-hmm.
He gets points for that. So I do not believe everybody looked at that tape and saw something wrong. When people think they're more than you, better than you, black people have always been treated as second-class citizens. It's like we're in a nation inside of a nation. So when they look at you, they don't look at you with humanity. Because
mm-hmm.
George Floyd didn't get any.
Mm-hmm.
He was looked at and treated as less than. They would have treated a dog better, and they do.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I don't agree that anybody and everybody, because that's not how they see us, the majority of them.
Well, what I mean when I say anybody and everybody. Let me interject a little bit there, okay?
Go ahead.
This is what I mean by any and everybody. Regardless of who you are, you can tell that the law is broken there. Now, would you acknowledge that in the jury? Let's say if you're a Ku Klux Klan member, let's say you're a racist, let's say if you're anti-black, hate niggas, you know, hate black folks, hate everything about them, the less there are, the better. If you're one of those type of guys, obviously you're going to say not guilty simply because they're pushing your narrative, right? But any sensible human being with any type of conscience can look at that and say, hey, you know, obviously that wasn't appropriate. You know, regardless of what type of evidence that they wanted to put forth, regardless of, you know, how the defense, I personally feel like the defensive lawyer, you know, told bro, like off top, like, yo, you're going to jail. You know, you're going to be found guilty. You got a whole 9-minute tape of you of committing a crime. You are going to serve some type of time. I think the biggest thing they was really looking at was the appeal. You know, what they're looking at is, one, the appeal, and two, sentencing. You know, I think that it was already said and done that he was going to be found guilty from the very jump, from the very beginning. I mean, especially when the judge did not allow for the case to be moved out of the county, they said, no, you're going to have to face people right here in this county. And then you have four black people on a jury who identify as fully black. And then you have two more people who identify as mixed with partial black, and then the other six white. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, anybody, like I said, with some common sense can look at that and get a clear understanding of what the verdict should be. You know, now, if somebody's using their biases and you know, just like, yo, another black guy dead, hallelujah, obviously we know what they're going to pick. I mean, that's just hands down, you know. And I feel like, personally, with the devastation of 2020, with the pandemics and the rioting and things of that nature, it's hard for a person to be that one juror to walk out saying, yeah, I'm the one who thought that he didn't do anything wrong. Because you do realize, even though doing a jury, don't nobody know who you are. But that ain't the case after the jury. After the jury, everybody know who you are. You know? Like, I do believe that. And I do believe that they're going to try to use that and appeal to say that the jury was, what's the word I'm looking for? The jury was pretty much forced into this type of plea, this type of finding, you know, for the civil unrest of the nation. And I hope that that's not the case, you know. I mean, they even tried to use, you know, Maxine Waters' statement. And it's like, get out of here. She has the freedom of speech. If you think that's so bad, then how the hell y'all not convict Trump? You know? But I do want to get some of my callers in here. We got 8051. I want to get you on here, 8051. If you have a comment, a question, 8051.
And that's what I'm saying.
8051, you're on the air.
But you've never paid this much, and I apologize for that. But it's
okay, somebody has their phone on and background noise.
So you would have 8051. To ask them why. It could be a new 2021.
All right, we go to 5240. 5240.
Oh, yes. Yeah, hello, you hear me?
Yeah, we got you on live. 5240.
Okay, yes. Is this an open discussion tonight about a lot of different stuff, or are we just talking about?
No, it's current events. It's open discussion.
Okay, great, great. Lord have mercy, great. Thank God for that. Now, what I want to get back on is Patrice Cullors hustling everybody out of millions and the Black Lives Matter movement. That's what I want to get on, you know what I mean?
Right.
She done scanned it millions. Buying all these houses, hollering about Black Lives Matter, and she moved there in the predominantly white neighborhoods with folks who got money.
I mean, what's wrong with moving into a white neighborhood?
So my thing,
we got to take it over, though.
No, again,
Jackson, I mean, you do a great job, but let's not do that tonight, because here's the thing, Jackson. She put her foot down and racism and let's get away from them and let's fight for one another. Let's be honest and let's, but you get your money. Now, Jackson, you know, like I know, if you got all that money, she could open up schools for African Americans. She could have,
who is this?
You know, did an apprenticeship program.
Who is this?
Patricia Cullors stole millions. Jackson, I guess you was worried about the trial. I guess you were focused on the trial this week, 24/7. You didn't have enough time to get to the other.
There are federal fraud charges over the.
But Jackson was on the trial. So Jackson,
now.
Yeah. So Jackson, read it tonight, Jackson, about Patricia Cullors. I know you, buddy. I know you was all on the jury, 24/7. Can't sleep, can't eat. You worried about the jury, but there's other things going on.
Yeah, I got Patricia Cullors pulled up right here.
Okay, there's also an Atlanta-based activist is facing the federal wire fraud and money laundering charges after authorities said he spent more than $200,000 in donations intended for the Black Lives Matter movement. It was a lot of scamming going on. It's somebody named Sir Major Page. He's 32, was arrested Friday. After authorities said he used donations for the social justice movement on tailored suits, guns, and his home in Ohio. And he ran a Facebook page called Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta and solicited money through the GoFundMe account. The FBI said that in the news release.
I mean, this is one thing I will say, though. Before I start, you know, chopping off my brothers and sisters' heads, you know, this is one thing I will say, though. Same thing they did with this officer, you know, innocent until proven guilty. The first thing that they want us to do is to start the infight and turn on each other and start, you know, that process of divide and conquer. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have to hear.
I understand that, but I understand the divide and conquer, totally.
Yeah,
but
me too.
Okay. That page has sent messages online. She told donors that the money would be used to fight for George Floyd, and all the funds were for the movement-related expenses. See, that's the difference. When you tell somebody, this is what this money is for, and then you take it and steal it and do something else with it, that becomes a problem. That's not divide and conquer.
Yeah, and nobody out to get blacks, nobody out to savage. That could have been a lot of money and an apprenticeship program for school, the Learn Blacks, you know, how to make more money and do stuff. There's a lot of money that can help African Americans out in a lot of different cities. Jackson, it's not Conker and trying to destroy her.
No,
I wish she would have done good with the money. But she didn't.
No, I'm not saying that I agree with
this,
what
she
did.
I do not believe this is divide and conquer at
all. Jackson ain't no us
all
against
I'm
her.
Saying
she did
is,
wrong, she knows.
All I'm saying is I want to see her met with justice the same way that the white folks are met with justice. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that she shouldn't be met with justice. But the people that she was getting all the a lot of this money from were from black people.
Right.
Yeah.
And I get it. My whole concept is, you know, even Donald Trump
people.
Has a Donald Trump foundation where he used the funds to buy a portrait of himself, you know? Like, I mean, I get it. I'm with you on it. I think all of the corruption is bad. I 100% agree. You say what?
I don't donate to white causes. So Donald Trump and his friends giving them money, no concern to me. But what I am saying is,
it should be when he's getting around those taxes. It should be when he's getting around those taxes. He's getting around those taxes.
Well,
he's
been doing that.
He's getting around because they
letting
him get around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I think Biden needs to do is release those taxes.
Okay. No. Well, let me ask you this. So you saying, okay, we know what Donald Trump did. I'm not excusing anything he did because I think he racist. You know, he was raised by them Ku Klux Klan parents of his. But.
Right.
Okay. That's just like when you take a black person who's saying they're doing something that's supposed to be good, supposed to be helping their people, whatever. Then there's a lot of black people who buy into that because they believe in the dream and all that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They go out there and solicit this money. Well, we're going to use this money to help with the Jewish Floyd and all that. So these people are giving us their money. Because you know what? They identify that. Everybody black knows somebody who was killed. Everybody knows of somebody who was killed by the police. But she used that. Played on their sympathies. So she's just as bad as the white man.
And Jackson, I know you hate to hear that, but I know you hate to hear it when she put it like that. But it is what it is. I mean, so
no, I don't. I mean, my thing is, it's not that I hate anything. My thing is, real is real. All I ever say and all I ever talk about, you know, is making sure that you know I'm black first.
I'm
you know,
first, but I don't want to be scammed by nobody.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care if they're
exactly
black.
Right.
And Black Lives Matter is a con job anyway.
It is. I tried to reckon why with it. Is this a con job 24/7?
I mean, my thing is the reason why I'm gonna hesitate to say that, and I'm gonna hesitate to go down that road. It's because it's like that's exactly what the white man wants you to do. They want you to feel like, you know.
There's white people behind that also.
Right.
Have you ever
exactly.
heard of George Soros?
Have you ever heard of who?
LGBTQ. Never let us in them soul.
Huh?
But
I'm listening. So, what would you
like
say?
Like I said,
the LGBTQ had a hidden agenda.
Oh,
yeah,
most definitely.
Yeah.
Right. And that was
the third one benefited from a lot of the money.
Agenda. And if you go look up all their stuff on their website, it's not even hidden. That's why I don't support Black Lives Matter.
And the LGBT, that's who got a lot of money, too. Not the ordinary blacks who needed the money or to help black schools out or to help to do certain stuff. that money didn't go to where it needed to go to. That money went to fund the LGBT, you know, do for them and all that, not for the African-Americans in the inner cities that really need that money. The young African-Americans that they could have benefited from a lot of education, a lot of other stuff that we could afford to give them, training free, you know, what I'm saying, so they can be up, you know what I'm saying, educated more on stuff about life, educate our young women and men. That money could have did great. I mean, just did a lot of good. But with the LGBT and all that come around and everybody scheming and scamming, how much money did they really devoted to helping African Americans out, the ones that really needed? Not much at all, if any.
Right. And also, my
grandfather
and Ferguson activist, won a chunk of the $90 million that Black Lives Matter raised during the racial reckoning of 2020. Because that's when they jumped out there and showed up in Ferguson. Nobody knew who they were before then. They're being sued.
You said they've been
sued? So what
sued?
They did is, yes. They're, Michael Brown's father and, he's requesting $20 million from Black Lives Matter. And it was reported from the Associated Press, which showed that the organization granted $21.7 million to multiple black local organizations and Black Lives Matter, but the activists are calling for more assistance and accountability because they began using the Michael Brown when he got murdered. And that's when they started getting that money in and using that.
And,
so, no, they're definitely.
And as you keep going, I want to get 8051 in. I think I paid 8051.
Mama, let me come back in later. I want to listen to what you all getting ready to say.
Come from the one
in this. Okay, I'll come back. Mute your phone. Whoever said, we went all muted.
I muted it.
Thank you for calling Amelia National Security. I'm sorry we are unable to take your call at this time. If you...
Hello? Sorry.
Hello. 5240, are you still there?
No, I had to, they had to go on in the background.
Okay. Are there any more callers or people have comment? Dial 516-531-9540 and press 1 and let us know what you think about any of these things going on, the Derek Chauvin trial, the verdict, what you think about it, your opinion.
And my question is to all the callers that's out there that's thinking about pressing 1 and hopping on this hotline is, you know, 1, where were you at when you heard the verdict? What was you hoping the verdict to be? What do you think the verdict should have been? You know, and then 2, and then lastly, what do we do next? What do we do next? What's the next step? You know, we can't stop here. What's the next step? We're gonna go live with 4932. 4932.
Yo, yo, what's happening, y'all?
What's happening, Black Group?
Same old, same old. Well, I'm glad we are having on this topic this evening. So real quick to answer that question that you just asked. Then you asked, what was that question again?
Mine?
Yeah. What was I hoping that it would be?
My question was, where were you at when you got the results?
When the verdict.
When you got the verdict. What did you think the verdict? Go ahead.
I happened to be at home. All right. And what?
And what did you
what
want
the
verdict to be?
Well, okay. That's kind of a big question. There's two parts to that. For one, I wanted him to be spending life in prison. That's the least he should have gotten. Because I believe he purposely did that. Number two, I kind of hope it was off because I really wanted to see if we was waking up as a people. I believe the verdict went down and they knew what they were doing because they wanted to make sure that they took the fire out of black people. And my thing is, it's one of thousands. One out of thousands. It's not really a win. It's just due. That's all it is. So, and while we're talking, there was just a 15-year-old shot because the police said the baby had a knife, and it was a girl. Now this punk of a police officer shot one of our babies down in the street for a knife. You soft, dude. I know one thing that happened to my baby. You ain't got to worry about no trial. And there ain't enough police to protect his ass from me. I guarantee that. So while we're in a joyful mood, I'm not. As far as I'm concerned, I believe we ain't even close to being.
Yeah, I'm not
satisfied at all.
I ain't got nothing to be joy about myself.
It's just a typical ploy to me. And then Jackass, our so-called good president or the lesser of two evils, can't be man enough to say, now, you was man enough to say stop Asian violence and put a damn bill out there, but you couldn't put a bill out there for black people, so you're going to mask it up and call it a Chauvin's whatever, or not a Chauvin's, but what's the guy that got killed? What's the brother that just got killed by Chauvin?
George Floyd.
Yeah.
George Floyd.
Call it the George Floyd bill. See, that to me makes me feel like, okay, so you're not going to do this for all of us. And this bullshit they're talking about, they're talking about reforming the police, you're reforming the police with more racists. I need them to be defunded and put them dollars back in black communities. Because guess who gets stopped on the way more than anybody? It's our tax money. When they sitting up there talking about, oh, my tax money going to this. No, that's our tax money that comes out of the pocket. Because I guarantee just about every black person then had to be stopped way more times, pay way more tickets, way more fines than any other group in America. And that's all I got to say for right now.
Okay. And I definitely want to get 1233 in here. 1233, you have a question or comment?
Hello.
Hey,
1233. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Okay. Yes. When you were talking about when the verdict was being read, I was happy for it to be guilty, but at the same time, I wanted it to kind of say not guilty. Only because, like, when these not guilty verdicts come out, like, black people go, like, take stuff from stores. Some black people do. Like, I feel like if you're going to commit a crime, like, it's a crime, whatever, commit it in, like, the white neighborhoods. Like, do something that makes sense that's really going to make white people be like, we got consequences for this. Like, cause destruction, like, good destruction that's going to benefit you. Like, all the police officers, they do things against black people and they don't have consequences. Like, you should make the police fear if they do something wrong, something's going to happen to them or their family. Like,
amen.
They do things without any type of fear. And, like, we know if we're in a black neighborhood and we go and kill one of our own people, like, we're going to have to watch our back. It's like they just walk around freely. So I just want black people to do more against them, I guess, if you're going to commit a crime anyway.
I hear you.
All right, I totally agree that you shouldn't be going around tearing up your own neighborhood and where you live. I do think that we would get quicker change if they went to the others, the oppressors' neighborhood, and tore that up. Made them fearful to leave the house for their kids to go to school, for them to be fearful to go to work or whatever. I think change would happen quickly because they would then be trying to find solutions to make things right. But I don't think a lot of times when black people tear up their own neighborhoods and things like that, and if they were going to tear up something that's in their neighborhood, they should tear up those Asian stores.
I agree.
Chinese restaurants, them Arabs, them little corner stores. I mean, the people that are non-black, their communities that make their money and take their money somewhere else. I think if they're going to mess up something, that's who they need to mess with.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
I agree with most of what you guys said and totally, but most of the time whenever they're going to those our so-called neighborhoods, they're actually tearing up stores like that that are other groups, stores, and things like that. I mean, most of the places, I mean, take Detroit, for instance, most of them places is owned by them, by the Arab and the Asian. And another thing, too, is if there's a Target in your area, hey, you know, but I'm with you as far as that. I kind of like what they did in I believe it was Seattle, where they had actually taken over the police station, and I think more of that needs to happen. I think we in for a long haul for real, and it's not even close to being over with.
I want to get 8051 in here. 8051. 8051.
Okay, skip 8051.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. The girl who was shot, the teenager, right before the verdict of Derek Chauvin was Makia Bryant. And that happened in Columbus, Ohio.
What was that? That happened where?
Columbus.
Columbus, Missouri?
Ohio.
Ohio. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Did anybody else get to see the video to that? Because I seen a bit of it.
No, and I did hear that they were releasing more video of it. They was only releasing like clips of it.
Yeah, there was some black lady, and she was like, "This racist cop right here." I love how she pointed that out. Let these son of a bitches know this is racist acts. These are race soldiers attacking our people, and it's by design. It's not no accident. The first thing they do is pull out their holsters. They're not going for the so-called what the little woman say she was reaching for her zap
taser.
Right, the taser. They're reaching for a gun.
Which was yellow?
Huh?
I said the taser was yellow, but she mistaken.
Thank you. And it's got a larger handle. You don't know your own holster? Come on, woman. Y'all full of shit. You make it convenient for you to be able to pull from a certain area when you're pulling your gun. And they're not next to each other. They're on the opposite side.
Well, you notice they can always take mass murderers who are white in. Any kind of killer that's white, they could be apprehended with weapons.
Mm-hmm.
They don't fatally shoot them.
Not only that, but they also get money to get them out of jail and fund their attorneys.
Legal
and
fees.
Stuff.
Right. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They not only
millions of dollars overnight.
Yeah. And that's just like the boy down there in Florida. He got even paid for the gun that he used to kill Trayvon.
Yes,
Zimmerman.
He's now signing packets of Skittles with his autograph. And
right.
Zimmerman.
Right. And I'm up there like, me as a parent, I'm going to find this joke and I'm choking him out. To be honest, I ain't playing with these fools like that, you know? We talking about my baby? Nah.
Do you
think I'm a different animal.
Outraged enough yet?
No,
do we
even.
More bodies to drive by police or these white vigilantes, these oppressors, these
changes?
I don't think they're outraged enough.
No, not even close.
They done took so much that now they just, okay, which one will be the next victim?
We're so used to being reactive that we ain't even proactive on things. You know, something simple as, my kids playing on your basketball court. Okay, since you can't treat them fair, I'm yanking my kid out. I'm taking them over here to this black school. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable to me of our reaction rather than our proaction. We have to be more proactive in our day-to-day well-being.
Right. And they
it's
always make it seem like the black person is the aggressor. No matter
heck yeah.
What the situation is. Even
okay,
if
so,
you call the police because somebody's doing something that they shouldn't be to you, and they come and look at you and act like you were the guilty party.
We have a shared individual that's on Facebook. And I don't know if you have seen his post. He said, all y'all that was mad about the verdict, you can go ahead and unfriend me. So one of his friends said both of them was wrong. What? Both wrong? I fail to see where what's his name was wrong at any way. He wasn't bothering anybody. He wasn't causing a disturbance. I mean, he was definitely under the influence of whatever, but they just stopped him because they suspected that he had a bad note on him.
And that's alleged.
Mm-hmm. I think they found out that to be false information.
Okay. Do you all out there, any of you can answer, okay, black people have been protesting before I was born and marching, and they're still protesting and marching, and nothing has changed. So, me personally, I think that you know what? If marching and protesting doesn't work, why the hell are they still doing it?
Because
it does not help and it does not work. And they don't
this is why
black people or protest.
I have to disagree with the protesting part because I believe that if we hadn't protested and so-called rioted up there in Minnesota,
riot is different. I said protest. There's a difference.
Right.
If you mix the two, that's different. But as far as people peacefully, black people always say, well, we have to peacefully do this. Those white oppressors took this country from Native Americans, and they did not do it peacefully. They have never gained anything peacefully. They violently took everything that they have.
And power only recognizes power. They will not give you anything. You got to take it.
Exactly. So nobody's going to give you anything. You're going to have to put them in a position where you can take it. You're going to have to find another way. Because like I said, protesting the marches doesn't work. Because they were doing that before I was born, and they're still doing it. So does anybody else have any comments or questions? Dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. But I will.
It's awfully quiet out there today.
We do have to find some solutions to these problems that we've been having forever since slavery.
We have to follow people like there are people with solutions out there. People like Dr. Claude Anderson and Dr. Neely Fuller Jr. Have put out some very, very informative things. You have that followed up by people like the Black Authority as well as Professor Black Truth and Tariq Nasheed. There is ways. The number one thing that we need to do as a people is get ourselves ramped up as far as our economics. They have to we have to get those together as well as having our own economic group. That's huge. That's very huge.
Right. And I think it's like Dr. Neely. I like something that he said when he said, if you don't understand white supremacy, racism, what it is and how it works, everything else you understand will only confuse you.
That's right. That's what he and Dr. Francis Cress Wilson put that together. This is very true. I suggest that we also get on code. It needs to be a black code. And the black code is black first. I believe there's a lot of people that don't think like that.
Okay.
Definitely.
I mean, we're thinking definitely too small. We're going to have to destroy white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
By any means necessary.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Any means necessary. We got to stop tucking our tails and be headstrong. It only takes one of us to take out 10 of them. Real talk.
Right.
And they know it. That's why they don't push us over the edge. They just push us enough just to do whatever they want to do. And when they see us bubbling over, then they'll turn the heat down a little bit like they did. But guess what? They didn't went on and shot one of our babies again. a little bona fide, little soft-ass cracker cop just shot one of our babies.
I want to bring in 1233. You have a question or comment? Question or comment? 1233.
Hi, yes. I have a comment. I don't think anything will change with the black people unless the majority of black people realize how great they are and that, you know, America, the way it's set up for black people, like, it was all a set up by the white people. And there's a lot of black people who just don't like other black people who are just, you know what I'm saying, that's like why we're not united. Like, black people don't even realize that this was a set up because white people are jealous of black people and they know how great we are. That's why they try to keep us down. But black people just think like other black people who are maybe in like lower class neighborhoods, they just think like they're ignorant and it's their fault they're in that situation. But they don't realize like, hey, this is a setup and this is how they want us to be and this is how they want us to think. But black people don't realize. Oh, there's black people who do, but there's a lot of black people who don't. They just listen to everything the white man says. Like, if there's a doctor that tells you something, they're like, no, the doctor said this. But it's like a lot of the medicine we have is killing us, even though it might think it's helping you. It might be really killing you, but, hey, the doctor told me this. The white man told me this, so I'm going to listen.
I only think it takes 10 to 20% of us on-code individuals to make the rest fall in line. I really believe
it. I do like to, I like Dr. Amos Wilson. He said that the black community has run the longest, most successful boycott in history, the boycott against their own black businesses. I do believe black people should patronize black businesses. Just like the Black Wall Street and the other black businesses in the other cities that were really great at the time. And black people did very well on their own. That's why those communities were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and yes, also, sir. You know, like, black people are the original people, and white people know this. That's why they don't like us.
Like,
they don't
like
it
because they know they came from the Caucasus
Mountains. I think they know truly that they're the most inferior race.
Yeah, I mean, it's really deeper than just you're black. Look different. We look different from them. I mean, you know, black people are stronger in general. That's why, you know, they dominate sports. Like, we're just different and better. And like I said, in general, black people just don't know that. A lot of black people don't know that.
To add to what you were saying.
Organs are superior. That's
to
why
add to what you guys are saying.
Them and taking their organs.
To add to what you guys are saying. To add to what you guys.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I keep thinking to add to what you guys were saying, here's another thing. They know that they're in charge. They know that they have white privilege. They know that they are on the top, and they never want to be at the bottom. You know? They know it only takes just the itty bitty of us that we will not only be on top, but we'll be running things, and they never want to see this. They are 10%, less than 10% of the population on this earth, and they run white supremacy is a global institution, a global system. You can ask, you'll be like, man, I went to school with this guy. They should know me. And then you see what all they put on their Facebook and everything, and I'm like, the hell? So you was up there kissing my ass for nothing. You know, I don't know if any of you experienced that, but I experienced the heck out of that.
I experienced it when I was in school. I personally didn't have a lot of problems from white people, but I see those same white people from school posting a lot of racist stuff today, and I feel like they're more bold today with social media and all that's out there. Like, hey, I can freely say this. My friends are saying this. Now we can say what's on our mind.
Yes. Big time.
I mean, I didn't grow up. I grew up around white people, but people weren't just like, I mean, I never trusted white people. I always knew they were racist, but they didn't like call you racist names. It wasn't like I just dealt with racism on like a daily basis or hardly ever. But you felt it there. You knew it was there. But now I feel like they're just bolder with social media and everything else, especially since Donald Trump was in office.
Yes, but I'm gonna go back even further than that. I'm gonna say when Obama went in office, because I'm sitting up there, I can remember. Everybody can remember where they were when he had his little speech and everything, and I can remember waking up and they having the parade and everything, and I'm looking on my emails, and one of the people that was on there said, "I'll never." There's something about there is a nigger in our White House. I'll never forget that in my life. I'm up there like, okay, and so it began from there to me. From there, they just kept throwing this and that, and Fox News really was ramping up things, and you had Fat Butt on the radio. Can't even think of the racist name. He died, thank the Lord.
Rush Limbaugh.
Him and all these races just kept rah 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 and all. I'm like, man. And then they just kept it going, and they were so happy whenever Trump was the only thing difference to me from Trump to Biden is Trump admitted that he was racist. For real. Because neither one of them has taken care of black people or even thought about it.
No. Biden
puts
out racist legislation and smiles in your face while he's stabbing you in the back. But also,
Damn.
President Obama did not do anything for black people, and he had 2 terms in the White House.
Two terms.
Exactly.
And your people got, as a matter of fact, there was more black people that got killed on his watch than both of them. And I know Biden
like
just started.
And a half left. So does anybody want to make a quick comment or have a question?
We got 6561.
Oh,
yeah.
Bullshit.
I'm here.
Okay,
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yes.
I'm calling from Chicago, and I'm, you know, you guys are talking about Rush Limbaugh. There was George Wallace back in the day. I'm a closet revolutionary. I came up, I'm 70 years old, and I came up in the revolution in the 60s with Malcolm and Martin Luther King. And we had a, back then we had in Chicago, which is one of the most racist cities in the world, I went to a all-white high school, went to a college in the 70s in downstate Illinois, where we had we were all petite little black girls, and we had girls that looked like Urlacher from the Chicago Bears telling us we weren't going to have a party in the dorm. And so they said, we're going to have a party. You'll have a party here over our dead bodies. And then the girls from downstate and everybody said, well, that's not a problem. So people started taking off earrings and glasses and everything. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, I came up when there was, you know, there was real racism. You know, I take issue when you
Southern Illinois University, was it?
I went to Illinois State University.
Oh, okay.
In Normal, Illinois. But the point I'm trying to make is this. You know, I'm about, you know, back then we didn't have resources. We have resources now during a lot of different things. And I have a problem with us making excuses for why we're not any further now. We are a powerful people, and you may disagree with me, and that's okay. We're powerful.
I agree.
If we would get together, really, and stop blaming, you know, and I'm not, believe me, I've gone through racism in workplaces when it was racism. I go places and they hear me on the phone and then I chill up and they go back in the room. Okay? So, you know, but I got the job because I had an education and blah, 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 blah. But the point I'm trying to make is now, moving very forward 50 years later, it seems that we as black people have not progressed and we've got to stop blaming white people. We've got to start doing things ourselves. You know, you heard about Black Wall Street. You know, you heard about things. We've got to, we've progressed. We should be progressing much, much more. Okay? We've got the social media. We've got everything. So instead of talking about each other in a negative manner on social media and then going out killing each other, we need to get together and do entrepreneurial ventures, help our people, help our, you know, those of us who aren't making it to make it. We can do that. We can do that without white people. Okay, now white people, we need their help. So I really get tired of hearing this dialogue about, you know, it's the white man's fault. Now it's our fault. We're not disciplining